Hi, Phil Usher here. I just wanted to say before this next episode starts that I'd like to apologise for the long wait between the last episode and this one. I've been incredibly busy. I've been starting a new job, which is a total change of career for me. But most importantly, I've pretty much had all of my time taken up by planning my wedding with my partner Elizabeth, and we finally got married in August. So now that's out of the way with, I'm going to be honest and I don't want to make any promises because I'm still busy transitioning into my new role at work. But I do plan to keep everyone updated as to when the next episodes are coming out via Reddit, via Twitter or on the Patreon, which is usually the best place to go for any updates or information. As some of you may have noticed, there is now adverts on the show. If you want to listen to the podcast, you want to listen to the episodes without any interruptions whatsoever, the best place to do that is on Patreon. You'll also receive the episodes a week earlier. So another benefit there. There's also exclusive AFRA and Law episodes and possibly other things to come. With all that being said, thanks for holding on. I really do appreciate everyone who listens to the show and I hope that you enjoy this episode. Thanks again.
Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised.
Chapter 2, Part 10, Anvidar. His back was sore and bleeding by the time they had stopped. When they finally released him, his legs were numb. The painful sensation of pins and needles prickled their way throughout his limbs. The sea air was a welcome relief upon his skin, which had turned pink from the burning rays of the sun. He was dizzy, close to vomiting, and beaten badly. With half-open eyes, he struggled to remain conscious. He could see a high-prowed ship docked, its port side blocking the view of what it held within. Hauled up to his feet, he buckled under his weight, his unfeeling legs offering him no support. This time, they gripped his arms, the gauntlets hot against his bare skin.
Take him aboard and nail him to the bench. We don't want you running off now, do we?
No.
Don't worry. You'll get the rest. You get a nice long sit down.
Please.
Along the stone pier, they dragged him, leading him up the wooden gangway. He tried to reach out to the ropes to get away or to find some holding, but it was more than he could manage. Once on board, he was taken past seated men, gaunt and tired looking, their legs dark with dried blood. They looked down on him with eyes filled with pity, silent in their painful restraints.
Come on, take a seat, my lord. Take a load off.
He lurched forward and was immediately pulled upright. The sudden movement caused his feeling of nausea to rise, and then he vomited, retching up what little stomach content remained within his belly. He felt the dirty fingers guide his vomit back into his open mouth. The act caused him to gag once more, his stomach painful as he retched and heaved.
Hey, don't waste it now. That's the best meal you'll be having for a good while. Gwiggin, we haven't got any nails left.
Well, fuck. Just use the rope then. There's some by the mast.
Now, you be a good boy. Sit there.
He knelt forward onto his knees. All he wanted to do was sleep.
Hey. Hey, you. Do you need some water?
Please.
Reaching out to where the voice came from, Anvidar felt rough hands, claws around his, packing tight a water skin between them.
Be quick. They don't know we have it.
He remained hunched over, more so due to not having the energy to rise. He swilled his mouth with a small amount before squeezing the skin. The water was body warm, but the refreshment felt amazing.
Quickly, they'll beat us again if they see it.
My thanks.
You're lucky, friend. Not only will you be able to take shade in the sail, but they're only tying you down.
Oi! There'll be plenty of time to get to know each other. Until then, keep your filthy mouth shut. Your Kalendor accent really gets on my fucking nerves.
He's sunsick. If he doesn't get water, he's going to die.
You're all gonna die. Make no mistake about that. It's just not going to be before the master says so.
He felt the pressure around his legs as the rope tightened, looping over and over, till eventually the cultist realized he had no slack left to tie off the rope.
There. Now, you sit tight. I'll get you some piss water to guzzle down. Can't be having our new boy dying on us, can we? Hey, Regan, this big lump is sick. We need some water for him. You seen that skin we found in it?
Thank you.
No problem, friend. We need to stick together on this boat. It's the only way we're going to get through this.
I just want to rest.
You're right. You need to sleep it off. My name's Huel, by the way.
Well met, Huel. I'm...
the icon of war, I know. I served in Kalendor.
I see. They cannot know who I am. Call me Elias.
Lieutenant Merrin.
His torch flickered its dancing light along the walls, casting the illusion of movement upon the carved depictions which spanned its entirety.
Stop. These chambers have remained hidden for centuries. Yet, we are not the only ones to tread this path.
I can still smell the mortals. And another.
power held here will taint your keen senses, Lord Ivilak.
I have no doubt, Necromancer.
He felt it again, the wordless command of his master urging him on ahead, the icy tendrils gripping deep behind his eyes.
No matter, my thrall will lead on ahead.
Without control, he was urged to unsheath his falchion. The weapon seemed to give a slight resistance to his grip, almost as if it were in the hand of another. On he went, the crunch of his boots upon the carpet of sand barely audible amongst the flapping of his torch's flame. Ahead, he saw staggered footprints in the dust, leading out from the way he had came. He paused to regard them. They were human in shape, but abnormal by size. No doubt, whomever had traversed here had been large in stature. Drawn to look upon the walls again, it first appeared that water was cascading down from the carvings, but it was not until he stopped did he see it. The very brickwork itself was moving. A haze ran across its length, blurring like heat rising from steel in the midday sun.
Why do you stop, Thrall?
He ignored his master's question and pressed on. Moments passed when he finally reached an end. A square door made of individual pieces of elongated stone, each cut to meet at diagonal intersections, creating hundreds of individual channels between each of the pieces. At the center, a circular opening, a small trail of what appeared to be dried blood ran out from inside.
My lord, there is a door.
He tried to push it, yet regardless of his newfound strength gifted to him, all he achieved was to push himself along the sandy ground. He considered sliding the blade of his falchion into the gap, hoping to pry it away, but the weapon's tip was too wide. Looking closer with the aid of his torch, he saw inside of the opening a singular spike stuck upright from within, stained with the same fluid which had poured out.
My lord.
An answer came in the form of his master's grip. Without hesitation, he then removed his gauntlet. His hand was pale. Blood had pooled in his palms, leaving them dark purple and bruise-stained like that of a corpse. Laying his hand, he pushed down upon the spike, seeking to puncture it.
Move aside.
His master and the creature he knew as Ivilak seemed to appear from the darkness, giving no word of their approach. It disturbed him to see that the Ancient One had retaken the form of Lord Draven. Looking upon that face again, he wondered, which did he truly prefer to see? He watched on as his master retrieved something from under the folds of his leather skirts. It wasn't until he came closer did he see what it was. Stepping aside, he made way for the necromancer. A hand. He had been right in his thinking, yet it was clear now his would not suffice. Indigo tattooed markings ran from fingertip to wrist, melding with the dark blood which had dripped from its severed wrist. It moved in a grasping motion as Kazilan brought it forth. An otherworldly screech echoed throughout the corridor as the necromancer impaled it, palm down upon the spike.
The Aerodon made quite sure these vaults could only be opened by their priesthood and require the blood of their faithful as key.
They've been gone for centuries. Where did you...
You should know well my skills in the necromantic arts, Thrall.
Meryn dared not question any further, and instead stood witness as the sections which made up the door began to move. It was slow at first, as pieces moved like intricate clockwork, but before long, he felt unease settle in his gut, as each piece suddenly slid into crevices unseen.
You feel it also, do you not?
Yes, Master. I feel it.
You are wasting my time, Necromancer. This body has already begun to break down, lest I feed upon your thrall. And you also.
You are right. Let us continue then.
A simple gesture of a raised arm by his master bade him to continue. Stepping inside, he felt unsteady. All around him seemed to shift and distort.
This tomb, like all other Herodon prisons, is imbued with Azalion's mace, a potent spell which bewilders any who would enter this location. I have countered its magics with my own, though it can only be held at bay. Continue as you should, Thrall. The bath will remain stable.
I can taste the flesh in the very air around me, Necromancer. You are sure that this place is abandoned?
That door has been sealed for centuries.
Let this be known, Catalan. Should you think to deceive me?
He stumbled forward, grasping at the walls beside him for a holding, as the path beneath him gave way to a stone bridge, spanning the length of a chasm into unseen depths below. Regaining his footing, he retrieved the torch, which still burned on the maculate flooring, as clean as the day it was made. Ahead of him lay the vast chamber, its surroundings carved with intricate depictions of ritual and sacrifice. He stared briefly, though he knew not their meaning, shedding light upon his own ignorance as well as the causeway, noting that the stone which made up the bridge seemed to be coated in a thin layer of frost. It shimmered briefly from his torch's passing, like ice twinkling in the winter sun. Raising the torch up higher, hoping to reveal more of what lay in shadow, yet in doing so, he saw a small figure in the distance, little more than a teenager in stature.
Wait, my lord. Look.
A guardian. I had not foreseen this.
You are testing my patience, Kazilan. Have your thrall take care of it.
He is a child, my master.
I worry at your concern, Lieutenant. You had little qualms about drowning the infants in the village. What concerns you now?
He felt a pang of anger rise within him at the mention of his old rank.
I meant simply, he should not pose a threat to us. Why is he here?
Do as I command, and dispatch him.
He knew exactly what he must do.
No. No. No more!
He span, and his falchion went with him, a hacking strike which aimed to cut down the necromancer. He felt the shockwave through his arm as he made contact with Kazalan, followed by the sensation of broken bones as his grip upon the blade went limp.
Pathetic. That you would even dare to harm me. I will rend your soul apart.
Worse than he had expected, pain racked throughout him as he rose up from the floor, his entire being encased in a searing shadow. He kicked and flailed, hoping to make contact, yet his master was far from his reach.
I will rectify the mistake of your sentience, and you will suffer through it, Lieutenant.
This bores me, Necromancer.
We shall not waste time, I assure you.
As he slammed into the ground, he felt his body stiffen, as if constricted by restraints, iron-like and unmoving. His vision slowly returning in time for him to see spider-web-like cracks appearing before him, signaling the call of his master's revenants.
Do not waste your efforts, Kazalan. Even if this child is a guardian, I shall delight in tearing it apart.
As you wish, Lord of the Kamunai.
I'll leave you to deal with your underlings.
Meron watched eagerly as the creature he knew as Ifalak strode forward, its first step upon the stone halting as it followed in stride and off balance by the second, only to find both feet locked tight, held down to the ground as if bolted securely.
What is this?
A trap, Ifalak. Simply a trap.
The ruse now over, he rose from the ground just in time to make way for two of the revenants that had been summoned by Kazalan.
Come then, fools. Once I dispatch your servants, you will be next. Your suffering will be without limit. My father will feast on your pain for an eternity.
The revenants, weapon in hand, approached the Ancient One, ready to deal out killing blows.
You may find your abilities somewhat hindered, Lord of the Kamunai. Take him apart.
His torch flame suddenly snuffed out, and along with it, all of a light within the chamber.
No, this one is mine.
Echoing within the corridor from without came a scream of denial and the laughing of his master. The plan had worked perfectly.
Rowan.
Wylanaren, who are you?
She turned to look at him. Her aged visage somehow retained a sense of youth about it, a duality of life held within her face. An immense aura of power ebbed about her in waves. Her very being almost overwhelmed him.
My name is Morgran. I am the last priestess of Armanvay, and their herald upon Aetheron.
Listen, I don't know who you are or what Armanvay is, but we need to know right now what your intentions are.
He looked at Orin, who had finished helping Kriya up from the floor.
I think it's safe to say that she's helped us here, Cormac. Morgran, you have my thanks.
It is my duty to restore the balance when it is disrupted by Ishalur. It was he who created that abomination.
What do you mean? Who is this Ishalur?
Ishalur is... was my son. Though I was not the one who bore him, but it was I who raised him, and like a fool taught him the ways of my god.
Sounds to me like you spared the rod a little too often with that naughty lad.
If you consider being an incredibly powerful necromancer as equal to being a naughty child, then I would hate to know your understanding of evil.
Oh, so that's why you're here. You're looking for your son.
Ishalur cannot be found. He has been gone for many years now. Only the creature he became remains.
Forgive me, Morgran, but who in the right mind goes looking for an incredibly powerful necromancer.
Not so much looking for him, as hunting him.
It's hard to lose a loved one. Especially when they choose a path like that.
His thoughts led to Alduin, and the pain of loss came upon him once again. It was then he remembered the Lordstone.
The stone? Where is it? Where is it?
Calm down, Rowan. It's over there, look.
He followed Cormac's directions and retrieved the copper box which encased the Lordstone. It felt heavier than usual. Any further thoughts he quickly disregarded as he felt the wet nuzzle of one of the wolves touch his hand.
Hello, boy. This isn't for chewing.
Come, Beavine. Leave him be.
He's no trouble. Reminds me of the hounds we had back in Gilglaas.
I'm glad she gives you comfort. She seems to like you.
Oh, I'm sorry, girl. I didn't know.
I don't think she cares, Rowan.
Sorry to interrupt your lovely little playtime with a wild beast, Rowan. But we've got somewhere to be, and I don't fancy spending any longer in this shithole. Morgran, you're more than welcome to join us on the road. I'm sure Rowan wouldn't object to you bringing your hounds as well.
I'm afraid I cannot.
Is there anything we can offer you for your help? We don't have much silver between us. Still, sure we can come up with something.
I have done my duty as herald. I would see it more as you have helped me. As for silver, I have no use for it.
Are you sure? We could certainly use the help, and extra company is always welcome.
It is not so much that I don't wish it, more as I cannot. These walls have been sealed magically, as in the past I can enter his aegis, but I cannot leave until the energy has faded.
If he can trap someone like you, he must be very powerful indeed.
More than even I know. Which is why I seek to end his corruption of my patron's power. It is my bound duty to stop him, for I serve the light, and he the darkness. Night and day, light and shadow, all must have balance.
Sounds a lot like your order, eh, Kriya?
It does. Myself and Kriya, possibly all that's left of the Argent Order. It's our duty to stop darkness wherever we find it also.
Take comfort in these words, then. You are not the last. I know of the Order, and of your icon of magics.
How do you know each other?
Rowan looked to Kriya, who looked keen to know the answer herself.
She has encountered Ishalur in the past, though I think Kriya... You would know him as Kazilan.
I know that name. It was his men that held me in that hellhole back in Eastwald. I wouldn't mind putting a few arrows in at the bastard myself.
Unfortunately, it will take more than mortal weapons to bring him down. Speaking of which, I do not know your name, man of Arteria.
Rowan paused, unsure of whether to answer fully.
Well, besides the Lady Kriya here, we're all men of Arteria. I'm Orin of Vale of Glass. That walking boulder in a red sword uniform is Willem Cormac. And this?
Rowan at Latha, of Gilglaas.
Then it is to you, Rowan, I speak. I know what you carry with you, and its power.
He felt his stomach drop.
We seek a way to destroy it. It's why we're bound for Cuthcoolin.
Why would you wish the blade destroyed?
The blade?
I see. We follow two different paths here. The sword at your waist, Rowan Atlatha. I care not for what else you speak of. I cannot be involved outside of my hunt for Ishalor.
Breaker? It's not mine. Well, it's... It was my friend's.
It was never truly his, either. It is an Aerodon blade. Unjuth Brechka, or in our tongue, Vigilant Edge. It was meant for the Emperor Kaisune. May I?
Hesitant at first, but if she meant him harm, he was sure the weapon would do little against this Morgrand's power.
Yeah, here you are. Breyakar. Sounds a little bit like Breaker, I suppose.
A little, yes. The blade is imbued with the God of Guardians' own power. Argvalan itself bestowed their blessing upon its creation.
He watched as she held the sword upright, marveling in its craftsmanship and beauty. The look quickly replaced with disdain as her eyes fell upon the dark patches in the steel.
Argvalan? Who's Argvalan?
If I remember rightly, Argvalan is a Venish god. And surely has something to do with the moon?
Wait, you mean Lunarin? I'm getting confused here.
Regardless of the name, the weapon is tainted. I can feel a dark influence. These marks here, and on the hilt. They should not mar the weapon. It is indestructible. Thus why the Vigilant Edge is named so. What could do this? Is worrying to say the least.
The stone.
I had hoped not to involve myself in this. I know of the burden you carry, Rowan Atlatha. The Bloodstone of Anarion has been whispered in these lands since its creation.
Morgwan, do you think the stone is tainting the blade?
As I said, I cannot be involved in this.
Rowan saw the hackles rise upon the two wolves as they growled in unison at the sound of approaching feet.
Hold! Stay where you are, and state your intentions. We are many, and we are armed.
Hey, never mind that. Who are you?
They have a witch amongst them, Hrothgar. And fucking wolves!
Are you responsible for those abominations out there?
We could ask you the same thing.
None here holds such power, Yulin Tyrion. Put up your arms and we shall parley.
You are the lady.
We cannot trust them, Hrothgar.
Who are you, and why are you here? You are clearly not the garrison.
Well, neither are you. And believe me, you're outmatched, old man. Now put down your weapons, and we can all talk in peace. Answer me!
You are all trespassers here. I am Morgrann, the herald of God and Goddess Armanvay. And those beside me are under my protection. Make no further threats and we can come to peace. Words are preferable to war.
I know nothing of this Armanvay.
You! Put down your bow!
You know what? You're right. I will, because it's not needed. You see these two ladies here? They have enough power between them to turn your corpses to cinders. If you're in charge, old man, you'd do well to keep your man in check.
You ignorant Arterian pig farmer. You're speaking to Hrothgar Wolfhammer, war priest.
Enough, Ingelmar.
But...
I said enough, Ingelmar.
My apologies, Hrothgar.
I know not who any of you are, but you. I recognize the surcoat of a red sword when I see one.
I didn't want to brag. Why are you here with these others, Red Sword? And not with your king back in Welfare?
The king? He's in Welfare.
He was. As far as I know, he remains a guest of the man who calls himself King of my homeland.
Well, then I must go to Welfare and to my king.
The tension seemed to ebb away as the men lowered their arms at the leader's command.
Good, good. I feel you did not come here for conflict, Hrothgar. Nor your men.
We saw the lightning, the magic, from our ship. And we came to offer help to any who might need it. We are pledged to find survivors in these lands.
True to your faith, Tenants.
I serve my God above all else.
As do I. Perhaps. Perhaps it is their will that has drawn you here, good men of Elantia.
How so? If what this one has said is true, then surely you do not need rescuing.
You have a ship. And the knowledge of Eulantirian fjords and its lands. My friends here are in need of safe passage to Cuth Cullen.
The church. What business have you there?
We too serve Galador. Myself and the Lady Kreia. We are...
Rowan felt a hand upon his shoulder as Kreia stepped beside him.
You're from the Argent Order.
By Galador.
Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me and look for a link in the show notes.